It's a wild weekend in the Bronx. You usually don't hear stories like this, especially coming from the Bronx Zoo. But there was an escaped peacock, and a man claims that he was attacked by the peacock.
Oh, let me get paid here.
I don't believe so. My husband was attacked by a peacock one time when we were at a nature reserve, and they are violent animals. Here's the guy talking about it.
We were standing outside chilling, you know, and I thought I was bugging. I said, yo, they go peacock. And that's when we all, you know, started filming it.
Right. First thing you do when you see a peacock is you just take out your phone, you're chilling on the side of the street, and you start filming it, right?
He thought he was tripping.
Yep.
Then it just started running up the hill towards traffic, so, you know, we had to try to keep the birds safe.
I mean, obviously, at this point, like, now, instead of us just posting online and going viral, we got to keep this thing safe.
I mean, to me, it sounded like they were having a leisurely time. Now they've been called into action, really.
We chased them all the way in. I trapped them inside the gate. He got tied into the gate, and then he tried to pet me and said, grab my pants. They flew in the tree. I didn't know they fly.
He didn't know they flew. The thing pecked him and then flew up into a tree. Peacocks, the silent killer.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, I had a lot of interactions with peacocks when I was down in Mexico over the times. And they could get in your business. They could be walking around looking for food. They typically weren't looking for really a fight, but confrontational sometimes they were.
I'm not sure what bird is more aggressive, a peacock or a wild turkey. If you've ever been surrounded by wild turkeys, it is a terrifying moment because they seem... And then all of a sudden... Like, you're surrounded by them, yeah. And you don't know what they're going to do, and they don't look happy.
Yeah,
never.
When they block a street or whatever, too, they don't tend to move. Like, they do their own thing. They'll surround your car, take some pecks at it. They can be aggressive.
So I just Googled, how do peacocks protect themselves?
Yeah.
And it immediately popped up. Peacocks are aggressive, so how do you deal with an aggressive peacock? They're very territorial. If you are approaching a peacock, be sure to move slowly and do not make any sudden moves. It is best not to feed a peacock, even in a zoo. If they see you coming too close, they'll see it as a sign of aggression, and they will snatch food from your hands. I mean, I'm not worried about them snatching food from my hands. I'm worried about them biting off my hand.
Next time you want to share your barbecue, and you've got it in the fenced-in area, just toss it in that area.
It's May 1st, so we need to know, what do the stars say are going to happen this month? Astrologer Ann, you can find her online at astrologerann.com. When does Mercury retrograde end?
It's soon, thankfully. I know not soon enough for you, but it's May 14th.
Okay, so what does that mean? Does that mean that for the next 2 weeks we have to still deal with all these things going wrong?
Well, there is a bit of that. However, the silver lining is we can see exactly what it is, and it makes us really smart about the past, like clean up the loose ends. That's a big theme, actually, coming for May.
You know, I've seen over the last couple of weeks, everybody's complaining about the amount of solar storms. There's been a lot of solar activity, Anna. Power outages, different things going on with electronic devices. I feel like when you get that and Mercury retrograde together, it's going to be a whole lot of cosmic excuses if somebody's got a problem.
It's really high energy. It's forcing change. May is exciting in a lot of ways. It's going to start out with a bit of a bang to help us close out the past. May 5th, we're getting a full moon. Big, big, big full moon. It's going to be opposite where the sun is. So the sun's sitting in Taurus, which is all about, I love nature, I love flowers, I love plants, I actually love mowing the lawn, Raven. But opposite that is the moon sitting in Scorpio, which says, what are you going to let go of? What is the festering stuff inside? May 5th is going to bring it to a head and say, okay, really, it's time to do it. With Mercury retrograde, oh my gosh, what a great prescription for forgiveness. This is all the inner stuff, not just the outer, like get rid of old stuff. That includes belongings as well as inner stuff like old beliefs or like old grudges. Like, let them go. Make peace with your siblings and your family and your neighbors. Let's move forward.
So May 5th, you have to forgive everybody and throw away all your garbage?
That would be a great thing to do.
Right.
Yes.
Cinco de Mayo is going to be fiery.
Yes. Light that fire. Get
all
that
right.
Bonfire going.
Woo! And I was looking over your email, and you said that Santa Claus is coming in May. Can you please explain what that means?
What?
Isn't that fun?
Yes.
Well, one of the interesting things about May is we don't just have the sun in Taurus, which is the big nature sign. It's all about, like, stuff, belongings, possessions, what we value, and the earth. We're going to have five planets in Taurus. It's saying do Taurus, which is all about what we're talking about, belongings. Well, why is Santa Claus coming? The big, jolly, giant Jupiter biggest planet in our solar system is going to leave Aries and move into Taurus, join all those other planets on May 16th. That's why this Mercury retrograde is so important, because it's in Taurus. If you let go, Jupiter, who's the big gift giver, good fortune, like good feeling, optimism, will come in and bring great things, but you got to make room for it. It's going to sit there for a whole year.
Oh, wow.
Great potential goodies. It's like having Christmas every day when you've got Jupiter sitting in a sign like Taurus. What it really wants us to do is bring lots more calm, stability, beauty. And think about the Earth, like plant some flowers. Make your space beautiful and your neighborhood beautiful. Forgive friends, neighbors, you know, beautiful thoughts so that you can live in peace at your house and in your community and in the whole world. We can make peace happen this way.
Sounds like a lot of optimism.
I was going to say, I mean, Jupiter, at first when you started explaining it, it sounded like an overbearing roommate that I was going to have to share the bathroom with. It may take up a lot of space. But you're telling me it's going to make me some money. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, with all that Taurus stuff, how are we making our money? And do we feel at peace with that? So it's going to be really important, like, how are you getting along with coworkers? Are we walking our talk about, you know, being good people? That's what Jupiter's asking. You've got to do the right thing.
It sounds like a good month ahead, and I'm ready for it. Astrologer Ann, you can find her online at astrologerann.com. Thank you so much.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What is driving you crazy right now? 1-800-330-9999. You just have to fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. Let's get it off our chest. Michael, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're in a movie theater and texting, that is all I need to know about you. I took my kids this weekend to see Super Mario Brothers, and the couple next to me, whole movie, they're just texting, texting, texting. I don't know who they were texting, but like, come on, what are you doing?
Plot twist, they were texting each other. Mm. Imagine.
It's a thing, right? I mean, people are doing it more than ever now at this point, and nobody even shames them because who knows, right? You just don't know what somebody else is, what's on their mind or whatever. I feel like, though, this is part of, you know, we're always ingesting so much at once now. When I'm watching television, I'm often on my phone. It drives my wife nuts when she's like, "Hey, you want to watch a show or something like that?" And I'm like, "Sure," but yet I've got my laptop open and I'm doing emails or whatever. It's just the way I do things now. Jess, that's all I need to know about you. What's up?
So if you forget someone's name within minutes of them telling you their name, that's all I need to know about you.
This is me, and it's a terrible, terrible problem I have. And if somebody could teach me how to fix it, that would be really nice.
We got to learn, like, those little, like, memory tricks,
oh,
right? Like,
gosh.
They always say associate it with something or someone that you know or whatever. But if you're a room full of five people, how are you really supposed to remember?
Well, the thing is, it's like you're supposed to do that thing where you repeat it back. And I try to do that a lot where I just keep saying the name.
Yeah.
But then I look like a weirdo.
Right.
Because I'm like, hey, Lori. Okay, Lori. Okay, that was nice to meet you, Lori. Like,
and if you said that to me, if my name was Lori, I would feel like you were like patronizing me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you were always mocking me almost at that point. So I don't know. I go with the basic one. If there's a group of five or four and one of them's named Dan, guess what? Dan, I'm going to reference your name. The rest of you, I'm just going to be like, yeah, well, tell Dan about it because, you know, I've been trying to tell him.
James, that's all I need to know about you.
If you slap or hit something when it's not working, that's all I need to know about you.
Used to be the go-to move, right? Yeah. The television was on the fritz or anything like that. What do? You slap the side of it. One thing I know is it's never a good idea to slap electronics. But that first time that it works, now you're really done in.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're addicted because you're hoping for the same result the rest of your life.
Yeah. I think it all stems from blowing in the Nintendo game. You know, you're just trying to look for a quick way to make it work. And if you're blowing in something doesn't work, you just smack it. That's
right.
It.
First you blow it, right. And then if not, you smack it. Right. Okay.
Studies say that most arguments happen over the weekend with your family. On average, you'll have six disagreements, and some of them are just straight ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
This was a conversation I had with myself because I was so angry when I left Panera Bread on Saturday. So I just got into an argument with a guy at Panera Bread. The entire soccer team was there. We're at a tournament, so the place was packed. And one of the bathrooms in the girls' restroom was overflowing disgusting, and all the girls had to go. So I was giving them turns going into the men's bathroom. And the guy was mad that there's a line to get into the men's bathroom because I was letting girls go. Like, they're 14 and 15 years old, have to go to the bathroom and need to be at a game in 20 minutes. Like, relax. You can wait in line like women do every other day.
Yeah. I mean, I was so mad about it. Like, these dads and these guys were looking at me because they had to wait in line. I go, they're down to one stall. All these girls, there's all these women's girls teams. It was a tournament, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, we got to get out of here. And, like, why do I have to wait, like, 20 minutes to use one stall when you've got two stalls in the men's bathroom? We're going to make one line. I'm going to man it. And everybody's going to wait in this line. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, what if I have somewhere to be?
Well, you wait in line. You wait in line like everybody else just because you're a guy?
I mean, it's the men's room. I will just say this. I mean, first off, you're right. All right. But I will just say is because they're 14, they get a pass. But because they're 14-year-old girls, no other rules apply across the planet. All of a sudden, let's all fall over each other. It's that women and children first thing.
And Producer Sean.
And I'm sorry, but not for nothing. It's 2023. The guy could wait, you know?
I mean, if you got two stalls, I don't know. Can we all be in the same line, right?
Yeah, one line.
Okay, so I don't have to be at the back of the line necessarily.
No.
Like, if I get in the line.
Yes,
okay,
in line.
Okay, well, yeah, all right.
Just Raven cutting a bunch of kids.
I just don't want to be in the back. I just don't want to be forced to be in the back because some other 14-year-old girl showed up.
No,
that's all.
Just get in line. All right, Producer Sean, this was your argument from the weekend.
I'm at a concert right now, and this guy, when we first got to our seats, was like, he was in me and Rachel's seat. And I was like, hey, man, you're in my seat. And he was like, oh, come on, man. Like, you know, it's like the seat over there is a little difficult for me and my wife to see. And you guys are younger. So I just pulled the sympathy card. And I said, hey, well, my girlfriend's pregnant, man. Like, you can't, you know, make her sit somewhere else. And so the guy got up and moved and he was all mad about it. Rachel didn't want me to argue with the guy.
Somebody's in your seat. Get out of my seat.
Mm-hmm. Did you wash your hands before you grabbed your phone to record this?
The funny thing is, I was so mad about it in the moment. I needed to record it. And like the big regular bathroom had tons of people in it. Couldn't hear myself talking. So I went into the handicap bathroom and I'm just pacing in a circle while I'm recording this.
Yeah.
And it just automatically flushed. I guess assumed I was done.
All right.
All right. Dumbest argument you had, Raven.
Amazingly, this is what my wife had to say.
Is it possible that we actually didn't argue this weekend?
I know. I don't think we did. I was going to say that the dumbest argument of the weekend was whether or not Tommy can actually open a successful smoothie shop in Thailand for $2,000 American.
Well, yeah, you were arguing with me about you thought I was harassing Tommy. I wasn't. That might have been the dumbest argument, too.
Let me ask you guys, I mean, right now, do you think that my friend can open a smoothie shop in Thailand for $2,000?
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we continue.
I feel like if anybody can make it happen for $2,000, it's probably Tommy.
I mean, what do you need? You need some blenders and you need some fruit, right?
Probably some yogurt, I would imagine.
Good.
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
A goat from the village.
Yeah. My friend went to the village. I mean, there's more than one over there, but he went to a village.
All right. I don't actually think that's an argument. I think the dumbest argument of the weekend was the guy that didn't want me to have a line. I vote for myself this weekend. Raven, who are you voting for?
You might be right. I'll go with you.
Yeah, that guy should not have argued.
Dumbest argument of the weekend. I win. Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why? Big story of the day, the Met Gala. It's the biggest fashion event of the year, and it's tonight at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And if you're not familiar with what it is, it's an invite-only party curated by Vogue's Anna Wintour. So if you're lucky enough to get an invite, you still got to pay for your tickets. And you're talking big money, $300,000 for a table, $50,000 for a single ticket.
Say what?
It's a lot of money.
What?
So you get an invite to be able to go, and then they're like, but you got to write a check.
Wait a minute, but what are they paying for with that?
It raises money for the Met's Costume Institute. It's the biggest fundraiser, the only fundraiser of the year for it.
I mean, wait a minute. The Costume Institute?
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yes.
So, seriously. It's
beautiful.
We need $300,000 per table.
Correct.
So that we can pay for costumes.
For us to look at the museum.
And we need that to happen every single year.
Yes, correct.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, every year...
Something's got to be done about rent. Man,
okay. It has special hosts and a specific theme, and then everybody has to dress to the theme.
Okay.
All right, so what are the costumes and who are the hosts this year?
This year, the dress code is in honor of Karl. It's a tribute to the late fashion designer Karl Lagerfeld. Co-chairs of this year's Met Gala are actresses Michaela Cole and Penelope Cruz, along with tennis great Roger Federer and singer Dua Lipa.
So if you're not familiar with Karl Lagerfeld, he died in 2019. He was behind Chanel, Fendi, Balmain, Chloe. And you probably have seen him. He's the guy with the white hair. It's always pulled back in
the
like
big
a
glasses.
Low, big glasses, low ponytail, right? Yeah. So remember, one of the most famous people on the red carpet is always Kim Kardashian. So last year, she wore the Marilyn Monroe Happy Birthday, Mr. President dress.
Yes.
And clearly, she'll be there again this year because this was trending all over the news.
Kim Kardashian flew to Paris for some fashion inspiration from a furry friend.
Choupette.
Lagerfeld's beloved cat, Choupette, posing for the gram with Kim K.
Oh my
but
God.
Perhaps the biggest question still remains, will Choupette make an appearance?
So the big question is, Choupette is going to be there. Choupette.
Yeah.
Choupette.
So she flew to Paris.
To have a conversation with the cat.
Do a photo shoot and then get some inspiration from the cat.
It was really just one reel, one TikTok.
Okay.
And that's why she flew there with the cat.
Great usage
of time.
Jet fuel and time.
So now the big question is what everybody is going to wear tonight. And you can sit on your couch in your Old Navy sweatpants and your old high school t-shirt. And you can judge everybody based on what they're wearing.
Do they actually broadcast this thing? Where can people see it?
Yeah, you can stream. They stream it everywhere.
Okay.
You can go on Twitter or just Google Met Gala and be able to watch it.
Yeah, follow their stuff. It'll be up. Right.
I'm pretty excited. I like it. I think it's fun because it's basically like a costume party. It's like a Halloween party, but it's in May. So I think it's fun. I think seeing people be like, how creative can they be with fashion is a good time.
Mm.
I don't know. I'm into it.
Well, I hope you enjoy it there. I had you picked as more of a dog person than a cat person. But, you know, enjoy the Met Gala. Have a great time.
If you ever want to know who your real friends are, move. I am telling you, I'm not the kind of person to ask people favors. I've had to ask so many people for favors over the last few weeks and continue to ask people for favors. So the question is, what's the biggest favor you ever had to ask anyone?
Mm.
My best friend Danielle, right now, her garage and her backyard are filled with all my husband's tools, our bikes, anything that we have outdoor, our outdoor furniture, everything. You walk out on her deck and you don't know. It looks like a consignment shop.
Right.
There's so much stuff there. It's ridiculous. And then she texted me. She's like, when it rains, do I take the pillows off? And then I felt so bad because I'm like,
Yes. Please. Appreciate it. And if they're wet, stand them up so they can dry. Oh, yeah.
My cousin Angela has a storage pod of my stuff in her driveway.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's fantastic.
And her brand new driveway, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I just had them dump it there. I was like, I hope it doesn't scratch your driveway.
Oh, no.
My sister is taking my dog for a couple days while we get acclimated. So we have to go to a rental because our house won't be ready for a few months.
Yeah.
So my sister is going to be taking my dogs on the nights where my husband has to go away for work. And my mom is just taking my kids. I was like, I need you like the mornings when I have to leave really early.
Mm.
It's like every favor I've ever had a call in,
you're
I'm calling
in
right now.
Yeah.
Except for my mom and dad, because I feel like they don't count. Parents don't count when it comes to favors.
Yeah, they owe you. They birthed you.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're still their responsibility, I guess.
I don't even ask. I'm just like, Mommy, I'm going to drop the girls off Monday night at 5 o'clock. I'll pick them up on Thursday.
It's amazing, though. So moving is really one of those big times in your life, though, then, when you really have to, to maximize all your relationships and all your favors, because you're on a deadline.
Yes.
And yet you're completely just twisting out there in the wind, and everything costs an exorbitant amount of money. So if you wanted to store everything, that would just be an incredible hassle in multiple ways.
I've had some friends that have texted me and they're like, do you need any help? And I know that they're just asking to be nice.
Yeah.
And I tell them to report Friday morning at 10 a.m. And they look at me, they're like, okay. And I'm like, I'll give you all the pizza and beer you want, but you're going to get to work, buddy.
Yeah. Well, it's a full day. It's full time. Funny, when I think about the biggest favors that I've ever had to ask, same thing. They usually cycled around, you know, when I was moving or whatever. I had a friend, he had to watch my cats for what was supposed to be like a month, like, you know, 4 or 5 weeks or whatever. And it ended up turning into like 4 months. You know, it was one of those things where it was a relationship going south and where are we going to get another place and, you know, moving and all that. In that time period, he lost one of the cats, then had to trap and lure the cat back, was able to do that. And after 6 months, guess what? He didn't want to give me the cats.
I mean, it's his cat at this point,
right? No, they weren't his cats. I took my cats back. They lived for many years after that. But, you know, I question it at times.
Yeah. What's the biggest favor you ever had to ask anyone or someone had asked you? We asked around the office.
Yeah, so I was actually once asked in college by my roommate to organize a surprise birthday party for him. So I did it, and He asked me to throw a surprise birthday party for him. So me and my roommates, a few of my neighbors, I organized a nice little surprise birthday party for him, and his reaction was awesome. They all believed that he didn't know it, but all along I knew that he knew it was coming.
That's interesting.
That's like asking somebody to start to put out their nickname for them, right? Start calling me this. Would you please?
It's like when I ask people, can you like my posts and share?
Right.
You know, it's the
right.
same
it's
thing.
Kind of the same thing, right.
If you ever want to know who your real friends are, move. I feel like I've had to ask so many friends and family members for favors lately.
If it's not helping you move something, it's helping you store something, it's helping you plan for something, it's tough.
1-800-330-9999. What was the biggest favor you ever had to ask someone or someone's asked of you? Austin.
I'm actually kind of embarrassed to tell this one, but I was going on vacation and I asked my college roommate, I was like, can you watch our cat? And because we didn't want it to be in the house alone. And they were like, sure. And that doesn't seem bad, right? But the cat was not only pregnant, but like right at the end of the pregnancy.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it ended up the cat had the kittens at his house. And then he calls me. He's like, why wouldn't you tell me this cat is pregnant? And we haven't talked in a while.
Dude, if you had me dog sitting or cat sitting, and you didn't tell me the animal was actually pregnant, I'd feel bad and be upset on multiple levels. First off, wasn't I supposed to be caring for this animal in some special way? Second off, thanks, man. You ruined five of my bath towels.
How do you know that a cat is pregnant?
They're fat.
They're how do you know you don't have a fat cat?
No. And then they get, you know, their nipples and all that. Like, it's a pregnant animal. You'll see it.
You seemed very uncomfortable when you said nipples.
I don't know why. It's a cat.
Adrian, what was the strangest favor you've been asked or you had to ask somebody?
Okay, so this is really crazy, but my next door neighbor just this week asked me if I would be her surrogate.
No, your neighbor?
What?
I know, right? Like, I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, I have three kids of my own, so I guess she figures I'm fertile Myrtle and, you know, I can do the pregnancy thing.
Do you know her well? Like, is she like a very good friend of yours?
She's a pretty good friend, but I think that's going a little bit far. Like, I'm not quite sure about this, you know? Like,
hold on. Let me think in my head, who would I be a surrogate for? Let me think. With no money involved, just out of the goodness of my heart.
Yeah.
I hated being pregnant so much.
Yeah.
Like, I despised it. My sister, obviously, mm-hmm. but she's got kids now, so she's good. I guess maybe two of my best friends.
Okay.
That's it.
I mean, what's the overwhelming feeling when a neighbor approaches you with something like that? Like, is it this person, it's flattering. This person admires me and what I've brought into the world and so forth. Or is it like creepy? Like this person thinks, I don't know, I'm attractive. My family is attractive. My kids are attractive. Like, I don't know. Like, what's the overwhelming thought that comes to you?
Well, first thing was kind of shock, right? It was so out of left field. I really wasn't expecting that. Like, who ever asks a question like that? And then I guess I kind of felt sorry for her. I think that was kind of the next thing I felt, like it was sweet of her to think of me, even though I thought it was a little bizarre. Like, I'm with you. I think I could do it for my sister, but for just a random person in my life, I don't know. It just seems like a lot to ask someone.
So what did you say? Well, I mean, I do feel bad for her because it's true. Like, for her to have to come to you, that means that those other options weren't there. So that's sad. So, but what did you
say? Well, I just told her I had to think about it. And honestly, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know if I feel comfortable with this because she's not family, and I feel bad for her, but I'm thinking, gosh, 9 months of pregnancy and then I have to give it to her and then I'd have to see the baby all the time next door. Isn't that kind of weird?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, that is the biggest part.
Right. That's a lot to think about.
I'll be thinking about this the rest of the day.
It's always uncomfortable when you have to ask someone for a favor. I am moving, and I have never asked for so many favors in my life.
Mm.
I have pods at people's houses, people's garages filled with things.
There should be a fleet of pickup trucks out front of your house coming up.
Oh, there will be. 1-800-330-9999. What was the biggest favor you ever had to ask someone or someone asked you? Steven.
So a friend of mine kind of got in a bind, had to leave town real quick. He had a family emergency. Nobody to keep his pets. And, like, I'm a big dog guy. I know he's got a dog. I knew he had a cat. I don't love cats, but whatever. I'd take care of the cat. So I get there. He's already out of town. I unlock the door, and I walk in. The dog, there's a note saying he took the dog and the cat to the vet, and he was thanking me for keeping the pet. So I walk into the house. First time I've ever been there. Two birds, snakes, eight different lizards, all of which I have known nothing about, right? I call him a couple of days in, tell him everybody's doing okay. I'm following everything. I'm making the right food for the lizards. I'm feeding the birds. I'm doing all of that. And then I see this. He asked about one, and I didn't know anything about it. And it's in this, he tells me there's this little Tupperware container, and I had missed it. And it was like one of those big tote things, right? And there are some holes in it, but I open it up, and the lizard's in there not moving. And we're not talking like a little lizard, like a big lizard. So I'm on the phone with him about to tell him that his lizard has died. And I reach in to pick it up, and he starts screaming, "That one's poisonous. That one's poisonous. They play dead before they attack." So I slam the lid down on it, put some books on top. And I like that's that, and I did it. But that is by far the strangest. Like, how do you have poisonous animals in your home, just in like a Tupperware?
Bigger question: how do you have poisonous animals, and you ask somebody that doesn't know about them to come watch them for you?
Good idea.
Yeah,
right. I feel like he was conducting an experiment.
He was already on the road. The person that was going to take care of him like fell through. That apparently knew what they were doing. I was his last hope, I guess. I just thought I was going to take care of the dog and the cat.
Yeah.
Instead, lizards, snakes. I had to feed one of the snakes. That was not fun.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're not talking like it was big. We're not talking like little mouse. Like we're talking you feed it a bunny. It was terrible.
Oh gosh! No. Stop it! I don't want to have this conversation.
Morgan, strangest favor you ever had to ask somebody?
Okay, this is really weird. So I have a friend housing a ton of my stuff in her garage because, you know, it's my third divorce, and so I've accumulated a lot of, right? But the really crazy thing is my ex-husband is also her ex-husband. So it's a little strange, you know, all of my stuff is in her garage.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
I mean, it's bad enough that I have to ask my friends to store stuff in the garage for me, but the fact that you guys share an ex-husband seems very strange to me. I don't know how you deal with that.
Girl, at this point, it's your third ex-husband. Get rid of some of your stuff.
Right. I need therapy or something, right?
Do you have like a zany family party tradition? Over the weekend, I was at this party and there was live music, so everybody was dancing. And then out of nowhere, there was a Louis Vuitton purse on the floor. So, of course, what do you think? You think somebody left it there by accident. So you pick it up and you're like, whose bag is this? And then one of the women was like, what are you doing? And I was like, trying to return your purse? And she's like, put it back down there. And so I put it back on the floor and I'm like, okay. Two of them were British. And I guess it's an English tradition that whenever you're dancing, you dance around your purse for good luck. And I was like, now that is a wacky tradition because people are drunk and spilling beer on your Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a good idea. No. On the other hand, if it's kind of perched open, they might think it's like a busking thing. Like, I'm going to do some dances here. You throw some dollars in there.
Things got crazy, though, Raven, because people kept trying to pick it up and give it to them.
Yeah.
And once it kind of became widespread of what they were doing and that this is a British tradition for them.
Yeah.
We just kept throwing more stuff on top of the purse. I took off my jacket. I threw it on. And then by the end
Strange.
Of the night, there was a charcuterie board on top. And people were doing like keg stands, eating the salami off of it.
Again, I'm concerned about the bag at that point.
Right.
But,
yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a tradition
night.
For that.
Yeah. I don't know. I think every family has things like this, like things that you do. For my family, it's always the tarantella. I think a lot of Italian families, it's like that. You get together for a wedding.
And that dance just goes on and on forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
they'll
tell them,
loop it. Loop it.
My mom will spin me so hard that I, at one point, will fear that I'm going to fly off into a wall.
Yeah. You know, my family, they don't have a lot of strange traditions, but I've seen a lot, you know, through attending a lot of weddings and working weddings over the years. And I do remember that there was this one family that they had a large giraffe that was on wheels. And this giraffe was about, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 feet tall. And they would bring it out in the middle of like dance parties and whatnot. And they would wheel it around the dance floor.
That's
and
awesome.
It was at every wedding, at every party that they had, and people would do all sorts of different dances with the giraffe. Not all were appropriate for children.
That's fantastic.
Sometimes
though.
People would get sexy time with the giraffe.
That seems like it's going too far, though.
Yeah. Yeah. But they had it at all, and it was on wheels.
I don't know. Did your family have a zany family party tradition that doesn't involve giraffes? 1-800-330-9999. Tony.
Oh, yeah. So
When I was little, I mean, I'm the oldest of five, okay? We were all crazy, wild boys. And to get us to calm down every year, my mother would tell us that, like, Santa is watching, right? And so for a Christmas party every year, she would unveil a Christmas angel with whoever was being the best each year with their face as the Christmas angel. And so, yeah, you got to be the Christmas angel for a year if you were the best.
Well, I mean, you knew you were going to be handsomely rewarded by Santa Claus. He's been watching all year long, taking notes, and now you've won. You get extra gifts.
Yeah, that's the plus, because if not, your face superimposed on an angel is creepy.
Yeah, they're not nice to look at. My mom still has them all in her basement, and they're terrifying.
And they're locked in the basement. Oh, man.
Every family has them. They're zany family party traditions. Like, whenever you get together, there's something that you do. I was at a party this past weekend. The DJ was playing, and everybody was dancing on the floor. And then all of a sudden, there was a Louis Vuitton purse right in the middle of the floor. So, of course, you see somebody's purse on the floor. What do? You pick it up. And every time somebody would pick it up, what one of the two women would come, they would grab it, and they would throw it back down. And they said it's their British tradition, they're from England, that you dance around a purse for good luck when you're on a dance floor.
Crazy ladies. Who knew?
So, what's your zany family tradition? 1-800-330-9999. Sue.
Oh, my God. Uncle Anthony. We can't have bat out of hell. If it's a wedding, a funeral, a backyard barbecue, whatever it is, bat out of hell comes on, Meatloaf. Everybody stops. Everybody sings. Everybody goes off. Everybody for the whole half hour that song takes. We don't stop. We sing it. That's it.
And that song does go on forever.
Really long.
Yes, it does.
I got pictures all over my Facebook every time there's a party. Uncle Anthony, 73 years old. God bless him.
Oh, I love it. I remember my uncle and my grandfather used to have too much wine, and then whenever, like, any song would come on, I forgot which one it was. Oh, it's an old Italian song. They would pretend they were priests, and they would take the napkins off the table, and they would go around blessing people.
That's a lot of wine.
Yeah, it was a lot of wine. Homemade wine, too. Hey, Steve, what was your zany family tradition?
New Year's Eve. We would, you know, line up, probably 20, 30 of us, go around the house. We started from the basement, my aunt's basement, and the oldest uncle would be in the front, sweeping, the old tradition out the door and throwing salt. And, you know, around the whole house. And I know my mom used to drive her nuts because then she had to clean up the salt the next day because it was all around her house.
Why can't the person on the end of this caboose just have a vacuum, right? a dustbuster. Back then in the 80s, a trusty dustbuster.
Judy, what was your zany family tradition?
Oh, great. Well, on Easter, it's a big Italian family. Every year, we have fighting egg contests, where we do a bracketology, like the NCAA tournament, going from the littlest, if the six-month-old, to the grandparents. And we whittle down, and we each bet a dollar. So we wind up usually having a $50 pot. And at the end, you color your fight. You know, you come in with a colored fighting egg, which is always a great family tradition. And the last man standing wins half the pot, and the other half is the person that guesses the winner.
I have two questions. What is a fighting egg, number one?
Right.
And then how do you determine who wins the fight between two fighting eggs?
And what happens if the six-month-old has to go against the 70-year-old, which in my head is just a fight club?
Yeah.
Color the egg, you know, with different designs, or if you're fighting egg, or it could be like, it's so funny because it could be anything from a face to a, and then nose to nose, you get your arm on the table and you tap the egg, and whoever gets a dent in the egg is out.
I have to be honest, I still don't quite understand.
I think you just tap the eggs, which is much different from what in my head was Fight Club with Grandpa Giovanni taking on Baby Anthony.
Yeah, throwing it right into the little, ooh, you like that? Like dodgeball?
Let me throw this egg as hard as I can in your face. Yeah, that actually makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, right. I guess.
Yeah.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Lucas and Alice, what happened?
Okay, so my daughter is a sophomore, and she has a boyfriend who's a junior. And she went to junior prom with him, and that's fine and all and good and well, but there was an after party at a lake like overnight with 12 other couples. And I said, no way. I am not letting you do that. That is just too much. You're too young for that. Forget it. Well, my wonderful husband convinces me to let her go. And then she happens to come home with hickeys all over her neck. And I'm not talking about like one little thing. She's like covered in them. I mean, absolutely covered. Unbelievable. And he's like, oh, kids will be kids. She's 16. Let her live her life. I'm like, are you crazy? Like, we have to stop this now or we're going to have like an unwed mother, you know, high school pregnancy because you're letting her run off and do whatever.
That's a far leap from hickeys on a neck.
Yeah, big, big jumps.
Just saying.
Right.
Just saying. It's just too much. It's too much. And she's too young for this. Well, I think we need to punish her, and I feel like something, you know, she has to understand there are consequences to things like this, right? So she's going to dance camp this summer. It's like a, you know, week-long thing that we've signed her up for, and I think we should cancel it and just, you know, let her stew and see, you know, miss out and everything because she can't be responsible.
Okay.
Hickeys, very unappealing.
No.
Lucas, what's your side of this?
I think she's, I love you, but I think you're being completely ridiculous. You can't punish a kid for being a kid, right? We were doing this kind of thing in high school. We didn't have babies until we were older and ready for them. She's a kid. She's our kid. She's smart. You can't punish her for being a kid. Also, if you keep her here this summer, she's going to be closer to the boy you don't want her hanging out with. She loves dance. Dance is important to her. We should not punish her for being a normal kid. And I love you, but you're way over the top on this. Yeah, I didn't expect her to have that many hickeys, but if he spent that much time at her neck, maybe he didn't spend time other places. I think we're okay. We've got a good kid. We have to trust her.
I think a conversation's most certainly in order. I mean, you would want to talk to your teenager about, you know, choices made and consequences of that. And I mean, she's got to wear it around town like a scarlet letter over the next week. I don't know if she's prideful or embarrassed. I think that I would certainly be the latter. But on the other hand, you know, competitive dance, to miss something like that summer, she's at that age too where it's like, you know, you're kind of lucky that she's still in competitive dance and still interested in it and not just wants to hang out with the boyfriend. I don't know. That might be too far, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. This is tough things. You should it be punished? I don't know. Let's see what the audience has to say. They may agree with you, Lucas. Sure, maybe it wasn't the greatest decision for that to happen, but trying to take away something she loves like dance camp is not the solution, Alice. She's just getting older, and this kind of goes along with the territory. But they may see your side, too. She should never have been there, and even though she convinced Lucas, and Lucas convinced you, and you let her go, this is a problem, and there needs to be consequences, and that's not going to her dance camp.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Lucas and Alice have a daughter who is a sophomore in high school, and they let her go to junior prom with her boyfriend because he's a junior. Now, they had a big disagreement because there was an after party at like a lake cabin or something like that, mm-hmm. and Alice didn't want her to go. But Lucas is like, they're all going. What are we going to say? She can't go? So they let her go. She comes home with hickeys all over her neck. Like, yeah. She looks embarrassing. And Alice is out of her mind mad.
Alice is really upset. She wants to take away dance camp. So she's been a competitive dancer all throughout her schooling. And she's got a summer dance camp that she's planned to go away from. And she says that it's time for us to pull this back so she understands the real consequences. But Dad says that's not appropriate. And maybe, you know, we keep her interest on dance instead of this boy. At least she won't be here in the neighborhood.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Jay, whose side are you on?
Both. Mom should have stuck with her instincts. If she said no, no is it. She should have allowed her to go to the dance, and she should have came right home. Dad, you are right. Kids will be kids. But when you allow kids to have the opportunity to do things like this, these are the kinds of things that are going to happen. Mom, you are not a far leap. If this is happening now in short years, it could be something else, a little bit more dramatic, possibly an unwed daughter with a child. And you don't want that for your kid. I wouldn't punish her by taking away her dance for the summer. As a matter of fact, I would try to extend it or find something to piggyback on that so she is away from this guy for more time. Mm-hmm. But the both of you made the mistake, so the both of you should be sitting down and having the hard conversations now, not only with her, but with the boy as well. And if you feel that good, you should also make the parents of him come in and say that now that he did this to her, she's now going to walk around for the next 10 to 12 days with these things on her neck.
and explain to her that this is not acceptable behavior, and the punishment is that they will not be together this summer.
Wow. So both of you are in this. And first of all, 10 to 12 days? Is that how long it takes for Hickman to go away?
Man, that's a long time.
Unless you take care. Unless you, like, cold spoon it, cover it up, and I wouldn't even give her those ideas. You're getting the 10 to 12 days. You're going to walk around like that because you thought it was fun and games and you did it. So that's your punishment. People see that now.
Thank you, Jay. We got to go, Jay.
Thank you. Great job.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. Oh, things like this always happen when you don't agree with your spouse and make a decision. Alice and Lucas have a daughter who is a sophomore. Her boyfriend is a junior, so they let her go to the junior prom. Now, this is where the differences come in. Alice did not want her to go to the overnight after party at the lake house or wherever it was going to be. She thought it was inappropriate to do it, but Lucas fought her on it and was like, all the kids are going, it'll be fine. Their daughter comes home, and now she's got all these hickeys all over her neck, and Alice is mortified.
You know, I mean, I get it. This part is tough with parenting. There's going to be a disagreement and maybe an inclination to say, I told you so, or I knew it. But, you know, in the end, it's already done, right? It's too late. And that's Lucas's point. He says, we can punish her. We can talk to her. We can talk to him. I think you certainly should. On the other hand, he says, I don't think we should take away dance camp. That's where she's supposed to go this summer. It'll only mean more time with her hanging out with the boyfriend here and resentments.
Yeah, Alice says there needs to be some consequences, and that's going to be the consequence. She's going to lose out going on that dance camp that she loves to go to. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. John, whose side are you on?
I'm not sure. I'm on, I'm kind of neutral. I think that the problem is the junior boyfriend, and I didn't hear anybody say anything about that. I think Lucas needs to talk to him and maybe give him a couple two tree slaps or something.
That's one way to handle it.
Yes.
Probably not the best way, but one way.
Hey, Aaron, whose side are you on today?
Okay, I'm kind of on both sides. I agree with the father as far as, like, letting her go out, letting her learn to live her life a little tough, but I think there should be consequences at the same time. Not so much take away the dance camp because that is important and could be a future. But maybe something along the lines of you can only see your boyfriend when he's here at this house.
Mm-hmm.
Doors open and all.
So overall,
there will be no going out and hanging out.
Overall, you're on dad's
side. For a while. Yeah.
Pam, whose side are you on?
I'm on dad's side. Get the kid to take the dance away from her. That really doesn't fit the consequence of what she did. She's growing up, having fun with her, and let it be.
Isn't there something to be said that having this all over is punishment enough? Like, it's embarrassing.
Sure.
I would be humiliated, even if I was 15, 16 years old.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Lucas, our audience agreed with you today. You gotta let it go, Alice. I'm sorry, you gotta let it go.
Thank you.
I don't know. I mean, if something goes down and this goes sideways and this kid goes off the rails, Lucas, I'm blaming you, buddy. I'm blaming you.
I mean, I think the most important thing, obviously, is talk to your daughter, right? Because blame isn't going to help either of you. I mean, teenagers, they're challenging. You got to talk to her. And I would talk to the boyfriend. Certainly, the boyfriend should know that you're displeased, you know, should know that, listen, I understand that you guys make out and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I don't love it. I don't want to see it. On the other hand, I don't want you guys putting these things all over each other's necks and letting the whole town know. Like, there's no win for them in that. Like, you should certainly have a talk with them. Lucas, you going to be all right?
Yeah, and I will have a talk with him. We've had a lot of talks with her. Thank you both.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Wait till she meets somebody at dance camp. Oh, boy.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $2,500. All right, Karen, you ready to play today?
I'm ready.
I'd love to give you some cash. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, Karen.
Okay. All right, Karen, here's how it works. Raven is walking out of the studio. That door is going to close, and he won't be able to hear us. It's soundproof. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He comes back into the studio, and I ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Okay, number one. Pete Davidson says he became a Rod Stewart fan just to fool his mom so she wouldn't know he was listening to Eminem. He used to hide the Eminem CDs inside of the Rod Stewart, like, covers. One of Rod Stewart's most famous songs is Have I Told You Lately What?
That I Love You.
Number two, Peter Pan and the Wendy movie is out now, the new one. What famous actor plays Captain Hook?
I don't know.
Number three, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is out this week. Rocket is what kind of animal?
Raccoon.
Number four, Bubbles the Chimp is now living at a retirement home in Florida, and he just celebrated his 40th birthday. He used to belong to what late celebrity in the 80s?
Michael Jackson.
And number five, the Met Gala is tonight. It's the biggest night for fashion. The theme this year is after the late designer Karl Lagerfeld. He was the longtime creative director of what brand since 1983? The one that was not his own line.
I have no idea.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
Yeah.
Three out of five for Karen.
Not great, not terrible. $2,500. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Pete Davidson says he became a Rod Stewart fan just to fool his mom so she wouldn't know he was listening to Eminem. He would take the CDs from Rod Stewart and like the covers and put the Eminem CDs inside. But then he had the Rod Stewart CD, so he would listen to them and then he became a fan.
Right.
I am also a fan of Rod Stewart.
Same.
One of his most famous songs is Have I Told You Lately? What?
That I Love You.
That's right. Number two, Peter Pan and Wendy, new movie is out now. What famous actor plays Captain Hook?
Jude Law, right?
Yep. Number three, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, out this week, too. Rocket is what kind of animal?
He's a raccoon.
Who plays him?
Bradley Cooper is the voice.
Yep. Number four, Bubbles the Chimp is now living at a retirement home in Florida, and he just celebrated his 40th birthday. He used to belong to what late celebrity in the 80s?
Michael Jackson. I wonder if he golfs.
40 years old. Isn't that old for a chimp?
I don't think it is, actually. I think they can go a bit younger, or a bit older, rather.
Huh. All right, number five, the Met Gala is tonight, the biggest night for fashion. The theme this year is after the late designer Karl Lagerfeld. He was a longtime creative director of what brand since 1983, the one beside his own line?
I don't have any idea. I'll say Sassoon.
Seriously?
I was thinking of sexy jeans in the 80s. Sassoon.
No.
No?
Chanel.
Oh, okay, well.
Okay, all right.
Sassoon would have been a cool answer, too.
Yeah, it's not the answer. Karen, I'm sorry. He beat you 4-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Karen, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $2,600 tomorrow.
And if you have an idea for a question, too, remember, you could always submit it at annaandraven.com.